Seeking the Lord's blessing, we'll turn again to Isaiah chapter 1. We can take up the reading at verse 16. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And particularly these well-known words in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Everyone in this gathering this evening, in one way or another, it can be said of you that you're a religious person. You're religious in that you are found once again under the sound of the gospel, that you are found under the preaching of the word. And also, many are religious as they are found going about their daily tasks. Their lives show a religious bent, if we can say, to them, doing the right things, never seeming to put a foot wrong, at least when they are out and about and other people see them. And so people can be impressed with you. You say the right things. You never seem to say what would be found fault with in any way whatsoever. And in that way, a person can be considered moral and upright, and yes, even religious. And that is what we have here, those who had an outward form, and yet obviously not right before God. Now, my dear friends, tonight, that is a question for all of us, is it not? Here we have those who were sacrificing. We have it in verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full, or if put it in very basic language, I am fed up of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of he-goats. They were coming with all these things. They were sacrificing. So it wasn't that they weren't having that part of the worship of God that he required at the time of them. There were also those, notice, who were keeping the holy days, verse 13 and 14. Bring no more vain oblations, incense and abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, that's days when they would have special feasts and worship of the Lord, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, even these meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. These are solemn, solemn words, friends, from the Lord himself. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And so they were, those who sacrificed, those who kept the holy days, outwardly at least. And they were also, notice, those who prayed. Verse 15. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. They weren't clean in the sense, the spiritual sense. And so all these things were there, things you would think that would commend anyone to God. But you see, it was all an outward forum. It was just, if you like, a sham worship of God. Now, you cannot, and we cannot fault them for anybody, for this outward forum that was with them. Can't fault them for this outward forum, as far as this outward forum was concerned. But obviously, friends, from what we read, taking in the whole chapter here with what God is saying and these verses that we have read, there was a problem. Things were not right with them. We read here in verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, and they are gone away backward. Wash you," verse 16, "wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." So you see, with all that was there, and yet at the root of it all, there was a sinful lifestyle and a sinful way of coming to God, thinking that what we do and what people see and outward form, and we're giving the sacrifices, we have times of prayer, we are meeting together in the solemn assemblies, but their heart was not right before God. Now, friends, I cannot read your heart. Nobody can here in this world. But you know yourself, if in any way whatsoever this applies to you, as I must apply it to myself as well. If sin has not been dealt with, whatever the outward form, it is of no consequence. And there is only one place that sin can be dealt with. If the corruption of sin is like a wound that someone might have and it is dirty and gets dirty and just a clean bandage put over it, outwardly it seems to have been dealt with. But until the dirt, as it were, is taken out of the wound and it's cleaned, it cannot be and will not be right. And friends, it's a warning to us. If all our religion is but an outward form, and sin of the heart, the inner being, has not been dealt with, we will never be accepted by God. Never. Whatever we imagine. Except we know the cleansing of the sacrifice of the blood of Christ, dealing with our sin in God's eyes, we will remain maybe outward to religion. And you might hear, if I can speak to you personally here, you might come to this church every single meeting you can until the day you leave this world. But my friend, that's not enough on the day you leave this world. You will need more than that. It is not enough to have an outward forum. So we see then here, friends, that despite people's religiosity, yet they are known by the Lord as still being in need of salvation. And so he has the invitation, a gracious invitation, come, let us reason together. Now, friends, I know that this will be a very familiar text to the vast majority, if not all of us here. And I am not coming pretending to bring anything new from this. I just want to repeat the message, and I pray that apply it to our own hearts as I do so. And so we look at this. First of all, we look at sin's depth, and then God's invitation, and then God's ultimate. Sin's depth, first of all, then. Now, the people here are being addressed, those who are coming. Ah, sinful nation. Now, what an address that is itself. A sinful nation. And they are likened, as you read here as well, like in verse 10, likened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know about that. I don't need the details of that. But surely, dear friends, we see the day, any day like Sodom and Gomorrah is the day that we live in. In our generation, all these things that have come in that are so abhorrent to ourselves How much more must it be to God? But here is what they're like, and it's a very solemn thing indeed. How persuasive and widespread and so acceptable are some of these sins in our own day. And surely God's wrath is against us because of it as a nation, indeed as a whole world. And here, only because of a remnant, as we have it in verse 9 here, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been a Sodom and be like unto Gomorrah. It is because of that remnant, friends, that there is still the world is still spared. But the question is, for how long? How long will it be so? You see, judgment will come upon us just as sure as it came upon Sodom and Gomorrah if sin is not dealt with. And now, before any of us think, well, I'm not engaged in any of these sins. I hate these sins. These are things that have nothing to do with me. So surely this cannot include me. Well, my friend, it does include you. It does include all of us. Because every sin is hated by God. And every sin has to be dealt with. Now, I'm not saying that, as our catechism tells us, some sins are more heinous in the sight of God than others. Some are more heinous, but it doesn't say anywhere that some sins can be swept under the carpet. They've all got to be dealt with. And that surely is the warning here for us. As if the people here were then saying, look at us, look at all we're doing. Look at our sacrifices. Look at our keeping the holy days. Look at our prayers. But you see, the Lord knew that none of that worship came from their hearts. He knew, and he was telling them clearly here through the prophet, that it was nothing but formality. And you know, friends, what an awful thing it is. And is it not true that we have to admit it ourselves at times, that our worship can be so formal? There's so much formality sometimes about even coming to this good place. So often we come in that door and we look for that hour and a bit maybe till it's finished. Been to church. Been to church twice. Been to the prayer meeting. Read my Bible. And you know in yourself, in your heart, there are times when your heart is still hard as a stone. Oh yes, of course, we can blame the preaching, and rightly so, maybe at times. But is the problem very often not the sin in your own heart, the hardness that you've allowed to come in? And this particularly for the Lord's people can happen. Yes, we can be just as full of formality at times as well. And how we need to have that Spirit of God, how we need our hearts to be broken, our hearts to be softened particularly, so that our worship will be acceptable to God. It's incredible how some people can be so strongly outwardly religious, and yet, their hearts still hard before God. My dear friends, what a danger for us all. Is that there are hard hearts that is keeping the Spirit of God, as it were, from coming amongst us again. And this surely, particularly to those of us who profess to be the Lord's people. That sin that is there, like the worm that you see appearing in the apple, how did it get in there? The insect there lays, as you know, the egg in the apple blossom, and then eventually it shows itself. And that's how sin is. It is there in the depths. And eventually it shows itself. Outwardly, everything looks so fine for so long and so often. But it is not. And you know that it is not. And this is how it is so often, friends. Being content ourselves with an outward form, with a religion that doesn't have the spiritual root in our hearts. And this was wrong with the people here. And the question for ourselves, oh, how deep sin lies within us, how it needs to be eradicated from our lives, how we can cover it up with our religiosity and our doing this and doing that and not doing this and not doing that. And all these things can be there with us. And all it is really is saying, God, look at me. And we may fool those around us. And we may fool our ministers and kirk sessions and other members and our neighbors and our friends, but we cannot fool God. If sin still reigns, friends, in our lives, maybe not much of it seen by others, but you know yourself tonight if things are right between you and God. You see, sin is never just a little or a light thing. And that's the problem very often. It's a problem with us all. It's my problem, it's your problem. Because we categorize sin, well, it's not so bad. It's only a little thing. And I compare that. What are you doing then? You're comparing yourself with others. And it's easy enough to find somebody who looks worse than we are. But friend, we are no better than anyone else if our hearts are not right. And if it is all just an outward form that we have, it is all an abomination to God, friends. It does matter. Sin does matter. And until that deep-seated sin is dealt with, we will continue to be lost and at odds with God, however outward religious we are. How can our sins be dealt with? How much it take to wash me and to cleanse me anew, to have my sins forgiven? What will it cost, oh friend? The greatest cost that man could never have imagined. And that through the death and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Away with your own sacrifices. Away with your religiosity. Away with your self-righteousness. Here is what they come with. This is what we must have when we come before God, pleading the merits of Jesus Christ, pleading that he would look upon us for Jesus' sake. When we pray, friends, and we add that at the end of our prayer, it's not just a conclusion to the prayer. It should be truly pleading for his sake. All I've said, all I've presented before God for Jesus' sake. You see the depths of our sin. It goes deep within us. It goes so deep that it sometimes is very easy to cover it with an outward form of religion. That pollution that is there. And it's a pollution that only the Spirit of God, as it were, can find it. And when the Spirit of God finds it, oh, then there will be no more outward religiosity. There will be an acknowledging of sin and a pleading for the cleansing of the Spirit of God. Oh, maybe some are saying, oh, well, what can I do? I recognize myself in some of these things tonight. Am I too late? Am I too late? Am I too far gone in my sin? Well, my friend, of course, you're not. Because here we have an invitation, as we look at secondly. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, the graciousness of God. Isn't that wonder? And you know what? There's not a Christian here tonight who doesn't think this from time to time. How is God so long-suffering toward me? How is he so gracious to me? How was he ever so gracious that he took me from the fearful pit and the mighty clay? And every Christian praises God for that. And here's the invitation to all tonight, to each and every one gathered here. Come now and let us reason together. Do you see the wonderful condescension of God in this place? That God would be willing, a holy God, would be willing to give such an invitation to those that we have listed here who had committed such terrible sins, unbelievable things as you read them, in the name of God even, for their religiosity here. What an amazing thing to give such an invitation. And you say, well, could you do that for me? Oh, my friend, he can. You may here tonight feel that your sins are dyed deep as we have here into your very being. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with some sin. What does the Lord say to you? Come now. Come and let us reason together. Now, friends, this invitation at all is not in any way whatsoever, must be seen, as it were, with a meeting of equals. You know, you have people to come together. Let's reason together. Let's work out this problem. Well, there's some of that there, but we mustn't think that we are coming together with God as equals. He is given the invitation. He alone can do this. He alone invites us to come to himself in this way. And this is what is brought before us here. This is not at all the idea of, well, I've decided to turn over a new leaf and I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm going to change now and I'm going to come to Jesus and ask him to forgive me and that'll be it, finished. You see, friends, this is not a coming together of equals in any way at all. This is nothing but a gracious, undeserved, condescending invitation from God Almighty, from the Holy One of Israel. And it's an invitation to those who are but creatures of the dust, who deserve nothing but the wrath and curse of God to be poured out upon them. This is the grace of God, nothing less. And in this invitation, grace can be written in large letters over them. Come now and let us reason together. And having pointed out very clearly here to the people what their sins were, now he's saying, come. And he says, come and consider. Let us think of these things. Come and see and look at these things. Here we have a glorious invitation. And here he is coming with a hope that should be, that is extended to all here even tonight. And this is the invitation of the gospel. And when the Lord comes and he convicts a person of sin, of his need, what does that person see? This very thing, the grace of God, that he has done this and willing to accept me, that he deserves nothing for himself. With all his, you ask any Christian here tonight, there was a day when they thought they could work their own way and be acceptable to God in one way or the other. But the day came when they realized, when the invitation of the gospel was there, nothing in my hands I bring. I cannot bring anything to God. And they know what it is to feel guilty before God. That despite all the religiosity, they realize now, that was rubbish. That's nothing. I have nothing of myself. I cannot come. How foolish I was, how stupid I was to imagine that what I had would please God. And he says here, come. When is he saying come? Come, he says, now. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. But my sins, I'm going to clean them up. I'm going to clean up my act. There are indeed red, scarlet, and so on here. They're deep into my very soul. There's a deep stain of my sin in my know that once I sort that out, I will come. But friend, that's not how you're asked to come. And nothing is too hard for the Lord, whatever your sins have been in the past. And there's not a soul here. I'll tell you something here tonight, friends. There's not a soul here who would wish their sins to be made public to the world. And yet God knows them all already. And if you and I made our sins public to the world, they would shun us and they would despise us. You know what that would be like. But that's not God's wonderful way. The grace of God, come and let us reason together. Despite all my false sacrifices, despite all my shallow prayers, despite all that I was doing, yes, it doesn't matter, just come, let us reason together. Because the Lord is willing to save to the uttermost. Of course your sins are horrible. Of course they are hated by God. But the Lord through Christ can cleanse you, is willing to cleanse you. and willing to save to the uttermost. But you see, we need to come. And there, friends, is the invitation. In that one word, how often we have it in Scripture. Come, 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 let us reason together. Come when? Come now, and let us reason together. Let us, as it were, consider, draw near to consider your condition. Consider how you are spiritually and how we are according to the word of God. And Scripture makes clear, if we come, what is the wonderful promise? That he will in no wise cast us out. How can he accept me? Well, he certainly won't accept you, and that's clear in your old self-righteousness. That has to be cast aside, and you have to come as you are to him. Here is this gracious invitation from the Lord. It is a gracious invitation. Are you then, friend, going to continue tonight to refuse to come? When he's so graciously offering you, knowing all about you, let us reason together. That word there, the idea of rationalizing together. Let's talk about your condition, as it were, humanly speaking. Let's consider the situation that you are in and what you need in that situation that you are in. Talk to the Lord. You know, it's amazing how people will talk about anything but their relationship to the Lord. I often find, and I wonder at it, tells much, for example, of the Christian. Go and speak to them, and they talk little of the things of God. Other people, you go and speak to them, and they'll speak about, round about the things of God. Those who are not Christians, but they'll speak about these things, but never actually addresses the situation itself. And here we have not just talking about God, around the things of God, but the idea of reasoning together with the Lord about the things that matter for your never dying souls. And God in the gospel is inviting us to draw near to him. How? Friends, this is not an invitation on the basis of justice. It's an invitation on the basis of grace. And that makes all the difference. You see, friend, if God was going to deal with us in justice, we would all be cast into hell in a moment. But it's grace. It's the wonderful free grace of God. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, why will you not come? Why will you not respond to the invitation that we have here and many other places in Scripture? Asking us to come, pleading with us to come, praying that we would come, as it were. This is what we need to do. This is what he's willing to do for us. And calling us to himself is the whole idea of forgiveness. And it's the whole idea of cleansing. Though our sins be as scarlet, white as snow, red like crimson, they will be as wool. That's the promise. It's a complete turnaround. And it is himself who will do it. But there's the coming on your part. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. And when you come, what do you do when you come in this reason? Well, I would suggest to you only one thing. You confess your sins. You confess your sins. And you acknowledge your need. And you cry and ask, Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Your sins, oh, they're so small sometimes, you say. Well, you know that Satan is a great artist who paints sin in bright colors to deceive you. And you'll be persuaded, well, this is not really addressed to you, because look at all that you are doing and all that you are not doing. Look at my church attendance. Look at my giving to the Lord. look at my relative keeping of the Sabbath day. And so the devil says to you, well, that's fine. You just keep going like that and you do fine. But that's not what the scripture says. And when the Lord is asking them, come and reason together, it's in the light of what was going on in their lives and what they were not doing because it was not from the heart. Let us reason together. We're rational creatures. He said to you, let's come. And he says, even though your sins be as scarlet, literally, like that, it can be changed. Who can change them? You cannot change themselves, yourself. It'll be the Lord who can do this for you. It doesn't matter, friend, what you were like. It doesn't matter what your past was like. And we all have a past. Tonight, there is the offer of the gospel for you. Are you then going to respond to that offer? Friend, think about it. Think about your situation tonight. And the Lord will make your washed sins as white as snow, cleansing them utterly. How aware then are you of your own sin tonight? Well, I'm aware of them. Let me ask you another question. Are your sins a burden to you tonight? That's the one you have to ask. Oh, I know I'm a sinner. And people can say very glibly, of course I'm a sinner. The Bible tells me a sinner. I know myself I'm a sinner. But is that a burden to you before God? Is it a heavy load on your heart and your soul before the Lord tonight? Friend, don't put off. Don't reject this invitation. Come now and let us reason together. There's the glorious invitation. It's throughout scripture, friends. Many texts tonight could have taken, and you've heard often enough from this very pulpit over many years and elsewhere. The invitation is there for you to come. Come now, let us reason together. And there's God's invitation, but then we see also God's ultimate to you. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. How do I know that? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Just as the mouth of the Lord said, come, let us reason together. If you do not come, this is what awaits. How do I know? The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You shall be devoured with the sword. In other words, you'll be destroyed in a lost eternity. You see, there is no friend getting away from this. There's no getting away from the Lord. You either accept his invitation and you leave your sins behind, or else you'll be devoured with the sword. What does this show? Here's my old favorite, man's responsibility. It is for you, friend. The invitation is there. You are here. It is for you to come because you are asked to come. You are being invited to come. Now, I know, of course, we don't have to go into that, that the need of the Spirit of the Lord, of course, that is all there. But don't make that an excuse for not coming, because the Lord is willing to accept you. The Lord is willing to save you. And you know, your destruction, in a very real sense, will be on your own head if you do not come and you really do not step in faith towards the Lord. And what is the first step of genuine repentance? Is it not then to acknowledge your need, to confess your sins? There's your first step for you, and to flee from sin. Confess and repent, and come to the Lord in that confession and repentance. In it, invited as you are to come to him. And those of you who continue in your outward formality and religiosity, and you refuse this invitation. Well, here again, it is not me or any other minister or preacher who says it, but the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. These are solemn words, friends, that have been included in the scripture here for us. It is to remind us, this is no man who's speaking, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And may I say that the invitation can be accepted as being genuine. You see why I accept that? Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You see, I have no problem in accepting that. That invitation is from the Lord. But I say this to you, friend, just as genuine as the other warning here towards your destruction, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it as well. And so you need to be aware of that. And we're to be aware of the danger that you are in. You may be here tonight, I don't know, maybe think, well, I've tried before. I want to take a step in faith, but I'm failing so often, time and time again. I have thought about it. I have listened to the gospel. I have read. I have been praying, but I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I have failed time and time again. I've tried to change my life. And maybe that's a problem, friend. You've tried to change your life. You see, you cannot do it on your own. And you cannot draw near to God. The invitation is there, but you need the Lord's help. It's not about what I can do in and of myself. It is all tied up in the bundle that we have here of God, man's responsibility and God's overruling, overarching providence, and who's calling off you by his Spirit. And maybe it's far too often it's the problem, is it not? I've tried this and I've tried that and the next. Maybe you have. But if you're doing it in your own strength, you will never, ever come to the place where you need to. But here tonight, dear friend, is another opportunity for you. Here tonight, on this first Sabbath of another new year, another opportunity. And however deep you have been in sin, and I know that some of you will have been, as I know our own hearts, some of us, oh, how deep we can go into sin. But however deep you have been in sin, however far you've fallen back and sunk into the fearful pit and the miry clay, I tell you this, friend, with my own experience, as any other Christian here will tell you, however deep it is, God can reach down. If you will but call, and if you cry to him, he can and will lift you and take you to himself. He has never failed any who have ever put their faith and trust in him, any who have come to him, and any who have sought him from the heart deservedly. They deserve nothing of themselves, but they will receive the grace of God. Oh, you're guilty. And you're not worthy of anything. And no, you don't deserve mercy. And not one soul here or has ever been saved who deserved mercy. Not one has ever deserved mercy. But mercy would not be mercy, would it, friends, if you deserved it? That's the wonder of the mercy of God. Here then we see, as it was to the children of Israel, that pardon is offered to them. Pardon is offered to them. No one and nothing else, friend, can deal savingly with your sin except you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, except you respond to his invitation. I believe that there are some here even this very evening. And the sad thing is that you will die. If you die as you are, you will be lost. You will be lost. Maybe you are living with I couldn't care less attitude. And maybe you're here tonight, but deep down, you've been thinking about these things for a long time. And you know you've got a problem, and you cannot solve it yourself, and you cannot, friend. And you know you cannot continue as you are, and you cannot. With all your outward religiosity, are you here tonight and you know, I'm still an unsaved sinner? Well, I say to you, with all my heart, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come now and let us reason together. Friend, you have not as yet sinned away the day of grace. Whatever suggestions may come from the evil one, from Satan to you, it is not yet too late for any here tonight. But friend, don't leave, don't put it off, don't turn down the invitation any longer. For while it is not yet too late, it may very soon be for you. Come now, let us reason together. Otherwise, you'll be devoured with a sword, and it need not be at all. The gospel is here, friends. The gospel invitation is here for you, as it is elsewhere in Scripture. But go home tonight, those of you who are still strangers to the grace of God. Think about these things. Oh, but what will others think? It doesn't matter what others think. You will find that if you will put your faith and trust in Christ, however young or however old you are, however little are your sins, or however great are your sins and have been, there is mercy and there is forgiveness, because he's the God of all grace. Let us pray. Blessed and gracious God, oh, how inadequate we feel at times, and our inability to do other than to present the word. But so it should be, for the ability is not with man, but with thy Spirit. And so we pray, gracious God, that thou would take thine own word and apply it, and what has been in accordance with thy will, that thou would make it effectual in the lives of sinners, in each of us, Lord, for we all need to continue coming to thee. May it please thee to work in the lives of some here tonight, that they would mark this day out, not only as a first Sabbath of a new year, but that they would mark it out as a day when they were indeed born again of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord God, won't thou come and work and show forth thy glory, encourage thy church, and take the glory to thyself. For Jesus' sake, amen.